Good evening. We'll start the meeting tonight with the opening prayer led by Pastor Ken Herber, Kowasso Assembly of God. Pastor.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we begin this meeting, we just pause for a moment to say thank you. Thank you for this country that we live in. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, where we can come to a meeting like this and citizens can openly voice their feelings and we can discuss business in an open manner. And we thank you as well for all that are involved in the government of this city. We pray that you'd bless them. We thank you for the men and women on this council. As they make decisions tonight, may they have your wisdom and may their decisions be fair and just. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led by Director Ryan Suhanek.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This brings us to the roll call. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Teich.
Here.
Pro Tem Haber.
Here.
Councilmember Fear.
Here.
Ludington.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Osmer.
Here.
Owens.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This now brings us to the approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of August 17th, 2026.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of August 17th, 2026 are approved. This brings us to proclamations and special presentations, which we have none tonight. This now brings us to public hearings, in which we have three tonight. Those wishing to address the public during these public hearings shall be afforded up to 3 minutes duration during each public hearing. Comments made during the public hearing shall be relevant to the subject for which the public hearings are held. The first public hearing will be public hearing special assessment district number 2027-0101, and we'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In June of 2023, the building had some deficiencies that caused a partial collapse. Shortly after that, we were notified by the fire department and Consumers Energy that the collapse had caused a gas leak. So on further investigation, we found that it was in pretty bad shape, obviously, since part of it had collapsed. Not too long after that, the entire thing, all the floors collapsed into the basement. It wasn't much time between the initial collapse and the final one. The city pursued legal action after receiving a demolition order in February of 2024. And then the city contacted the Shiawassee County Land Bank through the SEDP to inquire about grant funding because they were going through one of their rounds of blight elimination from the state land bank. The city and the land bank entered into a blight agreement with the city contributing. We agreed to up to $60,000 towards the demolition if the $180,000 that the land bank received wasn't enough to cover the cost. After the land bank bid it out, we found that the city would have to contribute some. So when you add that, when you add legal fees to the $47,600 that we had to cover in gap financing for the construction demolition, it comes to $54,578.12. Council approved the first two resolutions for this action on August 17th, and hearing notice was mailed and published in the Argus. And staff is recommending a 10-year assessment per standard of practice for these types of demolitions. We've never done one. We've done one at this scale, but only once before. Usually they're the homes that we have to address. Mm-hmm. There's two other ones tonight, but we'll get to those later. That's all I have for now.
Okay. At this time, I'll open it up for public comments.
Yes, my name is Dave Acton. Can you hear me okay? I apologize. I just had back surgery.
I can hear you fine.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. So I appreciate everything the city has done to help move this project forward. My wife and I and now my family has been working on this project for over 10 years. So we're not going to give up. But what I'm requesting is that we change the special assessment to lien, which would be, currently we just signed the agreement with the land bank, so that would put it on the same type of arrangement. So what I'm asking is, as an alternative to the special assessment, we put a 7-year lien on the property, and it's for the exact amount city manager mentioned. And then the benefit is, because we're about to put $200,000 in redevelopment costs, it would help the cash flow, but the city would be made whole because we'll agree to rebuild the property within 7 years at the latest, and then if we rebuild, the lien is removed. And then also what would happen is, if the property is not rebuilt in 7 years, then the lien could be extended or the special assessment reinstated. So that's what I'm requesting, which is a lien instead of assessment, which would serve cash flow development phase right away.
Thank you, Mr. Acton. Any other public comments? Seeing none, I'll take it back to the council for any comments at this point in time.
I'd like to see what we could do to put Mr. Acton to make this work for him.
Okay. You were saying that you would like to...
I hate to put him in a bad position where he can't put the money into it.
Okay. A couple of thoughts I want to bring out here. I do understand that the land bank, for their portion, I think it might have been $180,000-ish, gave a lien of 7 years, and their money is based on grant money. Our money is tax dollars money, okay? And so we're dealing with our public tax money coming from our constituents. We typically, what has been suggested by the city is to recommend an assessment of a payback of 10 years, which would be like about $5,400 a year, which I feel is more the appropriate way of handling city money, number one. Number two, I don't think $5,400 a year should put anybody in a tight spot. So that's my feeling on it. Any other comments?
I just have one question. By doing the $5,400 a year, is that something you can still continue the project?
Well, the first pass at it, the short answer is no, because as I mentioned, we have to start spending money for the MEDC approval. And we've been in constant contact with them, and they said at the end of the year, after the election, the amount of money they're going to have available for this program, we'll know. So we have to spend architect fees and to the tune of $200,000. So this would be a cash flow issue primarily for us. So in addition to all the other pre-development fees, we would have to set aside monthly.
So the special assessment doesn't ruin your chances of getting grant money?
Well, it could. I wanted to come because it could. I mean, worst case scenario, and I think most of you, all of you got this letter I wrote, it says a potential consequence is that we would abandon 117 and go ahead with the rest of the building. We didn't want to do that. And in fact, in the packet that you got, it should say on page 6 with the elevations that adding a third floor, now that it collapsed, would be it would take that up to 3 floors. So that's currently under study by our architect and structural engineer. So we would plan on rebuilding that and adding a third story.
Can I ask why you were not responsive to the situation before it got into the condition that it was in? Like, why did you do no preventative measures to keep the building from impacting the neighboring buildings, the community? The road was shut down. There was economic impact to not addressing this in advance. Like, what was the logic there?
Well, the logic was that it's really the $200,000. And because when we did the Webster building, we were, in other words, the more blighted the building is, the better we stand with MDC. We didn't have $200,000, especially in a pre-development time frame. So it was just simply a matter of not having it. Then if we would have put it in, then, oh, well, they must not need our help because, look, at they just put $200,000. I went to the court. I did not agree. I thanked the city in advance for the impossibility of it. So I'm not trying to duck anything. We just didn't have the cash, and we thought that might jeopardize the long-term approval.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Councilwoman, regarding that. When you have buildings that are in your charge, and you know there are leaky roofs and so forth, and they're not basically being taken care of, and something like this happens, or it does fall, I look at that as a responsibility of the owner to make sure that that doesn't happen, and it did happen. My concern is you have had it a long time, and nothing has happened, and it seems like there's a money strap. And my concern is that in 7 years, is anything going to be any farther ahead in time? Because there's, this past history shows that there has been no movement. And I'm afraid that probably could be the same after 7 years. We're not going to see progress with this. I'm concerned about the buildings that are standing. We had open windows not being addressed, open to the the environment, leaky roofs on those buildings as well, as I understand, that need to be addressed. They're concerned. So I think in good faith that the process that we do with roads, we do assessments. It's public money. Mm-hmm. And even though I'd like to have the $54,000 up front, just like the roads, we do offer almost like a loan program of 10 years on an assessment of a road. And I feel this is proper and good faith that we do a 10-year assessment on the $54,000. And $5,400 a year is a problem that concerns me as well, that you can't handle the $5,400 a year. So.
Sorry, can I ask another question?
You may.
Nathan, how does a lien on a property that has no building behave in the event of a default, or like if something were to go out around? Like, what blindside do we have by exercising a lien versus special assessment in terms of our ability to get the money collected?
Well, I didn't come prepared to talk about a lien. I came prepared to talk about our standard of practice, which is a 10-year assessment. But I will address a couple things that need clarification. The CDBG funding that has been going through the state land bank to the county land bank, some of it has been state money, some of it has been federal. Both have an eligibility test for slum and blight elimination, but it isn't on a graded scale. It's whether it exists or not. MEDC's traditional grant programs, CRP and RAP, they're the same way. Is it blighted? Yes. Okay, you get X amount of points for that. That's not a graded scale. So to say that the worse a building looks, the better it will score, if that were the case, there'd be a lot more people trying to make their buildings look bad, or like this one, collapse. And what does that do? What does that do to us? What do we have to do in order to clean it up? We'd have to do what we did. So that doesn't hold water with me. The second thing I will mention
is a bit of a concerning statement in Mr. Acton's response, is that if the special assessment is approved, the property will be abandoned by the owner. Okay, we're talking about being strapped for cash, capital, to make this project happen. That happens quite a bit with developers, especially with these old buildings. And who do they come to? They come to the state, and then they'll come to us for tax incentives. And the state will ask, well, what's the local contribution? And if there is no local contribution, that's when it starts being downgraded by the people at the state level who rate these things. And why would Owosso agree in the future, let's say this thing does get going, why would Owosso agree to say, yeah, we'll give him some tax incentives even though he walked away from his property? So I'd like some of you to answer that question.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
So I think my biggest concern is, I think you said it, the $5,400 being a cash flow problem, because it concerns me for the reality of a development project if $5,400 is going to put a nail in the coffin, essentially. Hmm. That level of cash flow is a little bit alarming, or lack thereof, because usually you should have a lot of, not a lot, but enough wiggle room that if several thousand dollars of errors or extra need happens, you're prepared to do that, because construction costs change. It's just, it's concerning that $5,400 would be the make or break, mm-hmm. and that $5,400 wouldn't even be due until September of next year. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I hesitate to switch to a lien when that's not the city's practice, and I hesitate to set a precedent for switching from our normal practice of this is how the process is. I'm all for development in Owosso. I think it's wonderful. I just hesitate to set that as a precedent for future folks to let their building get blighted so bad it has to get fixed, and then they don't have to follow the same special assessment process.
Thank you.
That's my 2 cents.
Appreciate it.
I agree, and I'll make a motion to approve the public hearing special assessment district number 2027-0101.
Okay.
Sorry.
Support.
A motion of support. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
No.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Luddington?
No.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The public hearing special assessment district number 2027-101 is approved. This brings us to public hearing special assessment district number 2027-102. And again, I'll start off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In July of 2021, the city began code enforcement on 321 East William Street, asking the owner to renovate or remove the uninhabitable home on that property. Multiple letters were sent and were unanswered, so the city pursued legal action. The court order to demolish the house and clean the yard was issued April 2026. The city accepted the low bid from Door and Associates. The house was removed and the yard cleaned up in July of 2026. Total charges, $26,591.90. Council approved the first two resolutions on August 17th of this year. The notice was mailed, published in the Argus, and it was posted on the city's website. Staff recommends a 10-year special assessment to mirror standards of practice for assessments. Thank you.
Thank you, City Manager. Again, I'll bring it up for public comment, which will be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the council regarding this public hearing. Is there anyone at this time that would like to address the City Council? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for any comments regarding this public hearing.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Luddington?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. Public hearing, special assessment district number 2027-102 is approved. This will bring us to our third and final public hearing tonight, special assessment district number 2027-103. And again, we'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In January of 2022, the city began code enforcement against the owner of 326 South Dewey Street, who had recently purchased the home at tax sale. Multiple letters were sent to that owner, and no response was given. The house was sold again to a new owner in 2023, who likewise did not respond. The house was sold a third time in 2024 on a land contract after failed renovation attempts. That owner walked away. So late in 2025, the city began legal proceedings. Demolition order was issued in April of 2026 for the house and yard cleanup. The city accepted the low bid, again, from Door and Associates. This house had an in-ground pool as well in the backyard that had to be removed, so the cost was a little bit higher at $34,937.40. Your resolutions were, your first two resolutions were August 17th. Hearing notice was mailed, published in the Argus, and posted to the city's website. Again, staff recommends a 10-year assessment.
Thank you, City Manager. Again, and we'll open it up for public comments, which you, again, will be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the city council. Is there anyone that would like to address the council on this public hearing? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for any comments or motion.
Motion to approve it.
I have a motion of support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. This special assessment district number 2027-103 is approved. This brings us to citizen comments. Our first one, which each person wishing to address the city council shall be afforded up to 4 minutes duration during the first occasion. And up to 3 minutes during the last occasion. When recognized, please come to the podium, give your name and address, and direct your comments to the mayor. Is there anyone at this time that would like to address the council? Yes, sir.
Hello there. I'm Kelly Cushman, owner of Kelly's Refuse. I've been serving in the area for 40 years now. And I'm seeing every family grow up, generations appear and disappear. And it's a little bit in conflict of opinion on this recycling law that the state has mandated to be going in. It doesn't say anything about garbage in that law. It says to have recycling available for the residents. And we've got one company in town that has been in business for 3 years that can barely get 100 customers countywide. And the local companies can have it available as an option compared to going with one company. Now, we have this argument every 10 years about how it's tearing up the roads. Well, there isn't one garbage truck that can pick up half of the town. From what I've went going by 6,400 residents in town, not population, residents, a garbage truck will only haul 600 stops in it, and that can be picked up in 5 hours. So if all of the trucks were painted one color now, it would have the optics of we just have one company. But we don't just have one salt truck. We don't have one scraper truck. This is a big town. And the optics are there showing a different color garbage truck and everything. But you've had a survey done on the road qualities, infrastructure, and they were all substandard 10 years ago. When they went, you know, through that, we've got an inch of pavement on top of railroad ties, cinders from back in the 1800s, bricks. You know, it's really not a good road to begin with. And there's a lot of relationships formed with the garbage man, so to speak. There, when you've had them for so long, you can count on them. And these out of town companies are going to take all the money from this contract, if it goes to that, and it'll be spent other states or counties way down the road. And it seems like it's if like when we researched this last, it had to go for a public vote on contract garbage pickup. And for Dr. Krantz's survey meetings or listen to sessions, it only generated 100 people, and 60% favored having contract pickup. That's like 1% making a decision for all of us to go on that hayride together. And, you know, I think might be just overthinking a little bit, you know, going with something like that, because there's, you know, pros and cons, but it will not save the roads, and it will take money out of the community and cost local jobs. So, you know, just, you know, I suggested it to Carrie in her informational, and it didn't go far on that. And just want to bring that to your guys' attention. Thank you for your service. Yep.
Thank you. Further comments? Yes, Mike.
Let the lady go first.
Yes, ma'am.
Holly Jo Edwards. I'm representing 1313 North Gould Street. I'm here also to discuss about the garbage. I understand it's already been talked. I've talked to a lot of people, and they're like, what's going on? And that's by ignorance, by not looking into, you know, the newspaper and such. However, it's very sad that we're taking a local company and putting them out of business, basically, in your city. I thought that's what it was all about. You know, that'd be like taking all of the stores and like, oh, we only have Walmart and only have Myers from now on because they're a big corporation and they can sell it for less. That's really sad to name, you know, for the city to not even support a local company. And it's not like they just came here. They've been here for 40 years. That's really sad that they're just willing to just get rid of them. And I hope that you reconsider, you know, I understand about the recycling myself. I've researched it, and it's not worth it. There's so much recycling that just ends up going to the dump because it gets contaminated. You know, somebody puts all their cardboard in a container and left a piece of pizza in there. Well, that whole thing that got smashed together is now no good, and it goes to the dump. I've seen it with my own eyes, and it's really sad that we're willing to take a company and put them out of business because it's not fitting into, you know, the recycling. There's a company now that offers the recycling, and they don't have anybody. Nobody wants to pay for it. They all want to do it if it's free, but they don't want to pay for it. And then, you know, going with the one company and put it into taxes, there's people out there that can't afford that. There's people that walk in and pay $2 for a 13-gallon bag, and that's all they have. My mother-in-law, she's 87 years old. She doesn't have that much garbage. So we take it down there to Kelly's. Cost me $2. How much is that going to cost me a month in taxes? There's a lot of elderly that come out there because of that. They're on a very limited budget. And I think that this might, you know, cause a lot of families problems. I think you guys need to reconsider what this is truly about. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Mr. Klein.
Mike Klein, 204 Stratford Drive. In regards to the garbage thing, I have one question there. If the city were to privatize the garbage service, is the city going to make any money off this? Are they going to have their hand in the cookie jar and make any money off this? Next thing would be, haven't heard any talk lately, but the Fifth Third building is looking real rough. Where do we stand on the Fifth Third building? I brought up a couple months ago about the tree in the river behind the old YWCA. I see that still in the river. But the main reason why I'm taking this podium tonight is I asked to have this added as an item of business. I won't drop any names, but I did ask a sitting city council member, ask that to an item of business after I had the opportunity to speak. And that conversation didn't go too well. You're going to look at possibly reinstituting cars that have over 4 tickets to impound them. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but city manager, even though I'm talking to you, Robert, that you tried this a couple years ago and it didn't go over too well. Then you wiped all those tickets off the books. Then you just recently wiped off $15,000 worth of tickets off the books. Now you want to look at going and doing this again. As a person for 6 years who impounded cars for the city of Owosso, I worked for Reese Realignment, and we impounded cars for the city police department, code enforcement, etc. Not for tickets, for other stuff, going to jail, unregistered cars, accidents, that kind of stuff. You're going to look at impounding cars that have that potentially have four tickets or more. I just want to let you know what you're going to get yourself into. You're going to get yourself into a situation, if you decide to go with this, where you better have 24/7 access for the people to get their car back. They got to go to work the next day. They need their medication that was left in the car. They need the child seat that was inside the car to take to daycare so they don't get caught violating the law. I would ask that you put this on the next council that comes in. They're the ones that are going to have to deal with this. Now, the city is already contracted with a towing company. The issue here is the owner of that towing company is running for city council. Watch what you're doing here. It sure seems like it could cause some conflict. If you have a candidate running for city council, you're contracted with his business, and he's running, and if you guys go down that road of four tickets or more and start impounding cars, what kind of conflict is that going to have for this election coming up? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Further comments?
I have small potatoes. Joseph, 304 Michigan Avenue, Owosso, Michigan 48867. I just noticed around the city, and especially in the summer, as we get rain, and I know there's no cure all for this, but on most curves in Owosso, you'll see the asphalt, and you'll see the cement, and you'll see in between there weeds and grass and everything else growing in between. I just want to know what we can do about that. It's clogging up a lot of drains, especially on Michigan Avenue. I have to send out my brother and or tenants to I know it's a part of, you know, living there, but to clean out the drain and to make sure that it can drain properly without having a huge lake in that corner. Just want to see if there's anything more we can do. There's not a cure-all. After talking to Terry several times up in the office upstairs, but if you guys have any more ideas that we could somehow get rid of all this flooding in those drains, especially with the buildup there, if there's anything we can do to come and get a scraper, you know, and just really dig into that, because it's not just on my corner. There's a whole bunch of corners on Michigan Avenue, Genesee, Cass, I mean, King, Stewart, Oliver. We just really need to clean that up just to protect our people that are walking, people that don't have vehicles, and also kids that like to go out and play. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for your service.
Thank you. For the comments? Yes, sir.
My name is Jeff Turner. I live at 204 Oakwood Avenue. And just like they were saying with throwing those tickets out, now you're giving people reason to park on the roads, because there's people that just moved into a house that lives on the corner of Comstock and Oakwood Street. They got four cars lined up on the road all night long. It's right by the fire hydrant, which if we had a fire, I mean, the guy back here told me that they'd best out the window. But I was just wondering, how are you guys going to give out? I mean, that's just like me parking on the road. I mean, I've lived in my place for 29 years, but I don't park on the road. Now, and these other people, some of the police officers got to go down there and start writing tickets out. But then again, if you guys are just going to let them do it, then they're just going to want to do it again. You know, if you're not going to get the tickets, pay for the tickets and stuff. So I just wanted to make that comment because there's, like I say, there's a house, and actually he owned the house that was on Chipman Road or Chipman Street that burned down, and you guys took 2 or 3 years until you decided, well, we can have that tore down. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I feel with giving out tickets and stuff. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hello, Gil Humphreys, 1202 South Chipman. Some weighty conversations going on and lots of other things happening here, so I apologize for introducing myself like this, but I want to introduce myself. I'm Gil Humphreys, and I'm running for city council this time. So I just want to introduce myself, let you guys know that I'm here. If you have any questions, I'd love to meet all of you. I've met some of you already. I will say that there's some weighty issues that everybody's got. I'm anti-trash altogether, so I understand that that's a big issue. The recycling thing, I feel sympathy for y'all having to deal with all that. And the parking situation, I agree. There needs to be a penalty, and there needs to be a proper response. So I'm with you guys with having to deal with all this, and I do hope that things go well. Thank you for your service, and I look forward to helping any way I can. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments tonight? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for any council comments. Okay. Seeing none, that brings us to the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I have a motion of support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Olson?
Yeah.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Luddington?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. Consent agenda is approved. This brings us to items of business. Number one being policy adoption, whistleblower, and non-retaliation policy. And we'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The city has not previously had a formal whistleblower and non-retaliation policy. Non-retaliation is covered in our personnel manual, but this is becoming, with so many grants that we are applying for, this is becoming a pattern where either the state or the federal government will change their eligibility requirements to tweak this policy that you have to meet modern standards for eligibility, or in this case, they found that we didn't have a whistleblower policy. So this was for, I believe, one of the community development grants. So Tanya reached out to me and to HR, and between the two of us, we drafted this. And it's going to be good for us to have, certainly, but it will keep us eligible for community development grants.
Thank you, City Manager. Any comments regarding this item of business?
No, glad to have it. Make a motion to approve.
Support.
Motion. I have a motion of support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Luddington?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The whistleblower and non-retaliation policy is approved. This brings us to item of business number two, notice of pecuniary interest. And I would be looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion.
Like, wow. They don't like you at all.
Was that to excuse him?
No, that's the next one. Yep. I have a motion of support. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Luddington?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the notice of pecuniary interest is approved. This brings us to our second and final citizen comments, in which you'll be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone in the public that would like to address the council at this time?
Can I add one more thing to what I
said? Oh, you may.
I just wanted to also ask that if there's any way that us, the public, could actually have a vote on that when it's, you know, something that's affecting our taxes. It'd be really nice if we could have it on the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments?
Can you restate my address and all that stuff?
Sure.
Okay. 304 Michigan Avenue, Joseph Moore. I appreciate every one of you taking a look and hearing us out. What I don't appreciate is not commenting on it. Somebody can comment something. Somebody can say something. You're going to do something. You're going to try something. One of you can say something. We voted you guys in to do that, not to just listen and not make any comments. Because we have a bunch of heavy stuff out here. I mean, I'm in the city.
Plan on making some comments after this comment, these comments.
Anyway, I appreciate if you guys would let us know that, we hear you and we're here to support you, because if you're hearing nothing, it's kind of like, oh, okay, cool. I just said something for nothing.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Klein.
Actually, this gentleman kind of stole my word. I want to tell you that. It is a big disappointment. I mean, there was a council comment session just a few minutes ago, and these six people didn't say a single word. You know, most of the people behind me are all voters. And it's like, you guys just sit there and you guys won't comment. We take the time out of our schedules to come here, voice our concerns. The least that you six, seven people, if he was here, could at least say something. We took the time to come here. We took the time to go to the polls to vote. But, you know, at least show a little bit of respect then. Just make a comment. Say something. Just don't sit there. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mankey.
Tom Mankey, 2910 West M 21. I've been covering this here for many, many years. And this is the first mayor, and I'm speaking to you, that has ignored people when people ask questions. Chris Aboleth, it was intentional. Every person who asked a question or said something here, he answered. Ben Frederick. And I can keep going back. It is rude, obnoxious, not to talk and answer people when they spend their time to come here and you ignore them. It's not done in this city. This, you're the first mayor that's done this in at least 20 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mankey. For the comments. So I'll bring it back to council comments. So first of all, when it comes to the garbage and recycle, there'll be a public hearing on that. There'll be a time to discuss this recycling and so forth. So it's just not going to be not discussed. So there will be a public hearing regarding that, I believe. Is that correct, City Manager?
That's right. It'll be, if everything goes to plan, the first reading will be in the next meeting, and the public hearing will be held first meeting in October.
Okay. Thank you. Regarding the ticketing and so forth, that is the same thing. It's going to be the same process. Yeah, it will be the same process. It will be a public hearing. It will be discussed again, just like it was last time. You have to think that we had this not 2 years ago. We had it a year ago, this discussion. And there was a group of about two or three people that influenced the vote at that point in time. So we made a decision to, okay, let's not do any ticketing per se,
or not, we would go with this new process, but we would ticket, but we would not tow. So in the meantime, we, talking with the chief, and chief's not here, we've made many tickets out, and because there's no way to enforce the tickets, the majority of them, a high percentage, weren't paid. No way to enforce them. It's going, coming back. It's, and we basically said we would take a look at this to see if, in good faith, if these tickets would be paid and address it again if they weren't. And we're going to be addressing it again. And there has to be a way to enforce ticketing, or you have no way of enforcing parking if you don't have any way to enforce force parking to have people abide by rules, unfortunately. Okay? So another public hearing regarding that. Am I saying that correct, City Manager?
For parking, the first reading was this evening. Yeah? So the hearing will be the next meeting. You got it.
Okay. So there's those two answers regarding not answering. Now, when it comes to Joe, I'm getting your name right, Joe. I think yours was about basically keeping the streets clean, getting the, you know, basically sweeping, basically the sweeper, basically grading of some sort, because you believe there's enough to be graded when it comes to weeds and dirt that gets piled up in areas of the street and so forth. So if I could call on one of my favorite directors, Ryan Suhanek, give a little brief on that, I'll have the people in the know answer that for you.
Unfortunately, I don't have a great answer for that one because, for example, with the storm gutters, the state frowns upon using glyphosate or Roundup because that would go into the storm drain, which goes directly into the river. We're not going to use a grader on the roads. That would do more damage than good. We do pay special attention to catch basins, especially near storm, like because we watch the weather, we watch the forecast, and so we do send crews out when available to go clear out the storm drains. But mostly we're looking at the catch basins for the drainage. On top of that, it also helps when residents help out as well. I know I clear out the gutters near my own property. I believe, Mayor, you've mentioned to me you do the same. We're all in this together, and if we can all help out, it makes a huge difference. We have limited resources and limited options for this specific issue, unfortunately. Like I say, the catch basins get the most attention from DPW, but as far as the weeds that grow along the curb and gutter, we don't have a good option available to us. So, sorry.
Thank you. Okay.
Mayor?
Yes.
So, I'm going to use my council comment time, but I struggle with some of these issues because they've been brought to us before, and we've spoken on them before, but the ticketing and towing of vehicles, I do think, is a vital thing for us to talk about. There'll be more public hearings, but like you said, we had several people come and speak against the towing issue the last time it was presented, and I'm disappointed in the ethics, morals of those folks who they don't pay their parking tickets. So they openly say they get their tickets and they don't care. They don't pay them. They don't need to because there's no enforcement. And so I think it's important that the public know that transparently, that we have leaders in our community who park and stay there long, so park illegally, accrue tickets, and then don't pay them. And that's when you're seeing that $15,000 write-off that we had to do. We collected maybe $300, I think is what it was, in tickets, and had to write off $15,000. There's clearly a problem with people not paying their tickets. We wanted to do a trial period because we were giving folks the good grace and saying people will step up and pay their tickets. But when we have $15,000 worth of tickets not getting paid and it costs more to chase down said tickets, there's a reason why we're considering towing. And I encourage anybody who's concerned, interested to talk with Chief Lankert, because it's very frustrating. It feels like a blatant disregard for rules, authority, the police, when you have a slew of tickets and refuse to pay them. And now this isn't for the average Joe who just gets a ticket once in a while. That's not what this would be targeting. Yeah. This is the people who blatantly came and spoke to us and convinced us, they convinced us well, that this wasn't a good thing. But then we come and see $15,000 worth of tickets didn't get paid. So that's my two cents on that.
Okay.
But I wanted to also talk about recycling. And this is something that is important. And I know a state mandate is hard, but I struggle with us as a community not having single hauler recycling and garbage when most of our neighboring municipalities do. And I'm hoping that there's a way that we can compromise, but it's hard when local haulers don't want to recycle, but we have to do recycling. And it's hard when the response is just immediately against recycling. We're put in a tough spot. And so, transparently, I'd love to hear, if there's a realistic solution, but not doing curbside recycling isn't a realistic solution. So I just want to put that out there.
Well, first of all, it's mandated.
Yep.
Okay, so there's not a choice. We have to offer curbside.
And we can't recycling. Get just curbside recycling.
The 90%,
no, yeah. No hauler will take just curbside recycling. They want the trash too. So we're put in a tough spot.
Right. So I probably haven't addressed all the questions. Did I miss anything, Mayor Pro Tem?
Turner and the cars parked out in the street.
Mr. Turner, cars parked out on the street. It's basically a different item than parking downtown. Just to let you know, we're talking about tickets downtown.
I know, but if they're doing it, they've been doing it. The guy that lives right across the street from me, I had a hassle with them because I complained about it because he used to have a big truck sitting out in front of right on Comstock Street, and you couldn't see if you pulled up there because it stopped right on Oakwood Street, but it's Comstock is straight. And somebody's going to get into an accident.
So we're talking about parking on public streets. And we're talking about...
if you're not going to make them pay the tickets, then they're going to get away with
well,
it. And you're going to let them get away with it. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
What's that?
I don't mean to be harsh like that.
So anyway, that's... Catherine Cherry, just remind me. We do have an ordinance, if I'm saying that right or whatever, that they can't park on city residential streets overnight. Is that correct?
From
3
to
6. And so if you do see someone that is parked, they do get ticketed, correct?
Correct.
Then, so they do get ticketed if they get caught parking between 3 and 6 in the morning. That's the only ticketed, the way we can ticket someone that's on a residential street park that's parking there. You can park there, but not between 3 and 6. And it's probably because of snow removal and this and that, more so during the winter and so forth. And that's why that basically came about. But still, if you get ticketed and you don't pay the ticket and you don't get towed because we don't have that policy.
Well, there's a policy.
No, you can't talk. I'm sorry. You can't keep talking. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. So, anyway, that's a hard spot that we're in. There's no way to enforce any ticketing when it comes to parking. What else?
There was a question, Mr. Mayor, about
yes,
the Fifth Third building, and I would be, I don't know if we have any update. I know they were applying for grant funding. They had to update the interior of the third floor. Is that correct? Third floor, second floor?
There's a few things here. The latest grant that they have received requires, it's federal funding, so it requires environmental studies and a SHPO 106 review. That was unanticipated by the owner. We didn't know that they wished to go for this grant until the state made it available, so that has extended the timeline. But I can tell you that HDC will be taking the matter up this month because the certificate of appropriateness for the design that was approved expires they expire after 1 year, and this September is 1 year for the owner. So they're going to be deciding whether or not to extend the certificate of appropriateness on the historical side long enough for Jim to start his project. Just talking with Tanya at a meeting on an unrelated issue this morning, she had said that by January they should be set.
Okay.
Because the SHPO 106 review just began, I think, last week, and they are accommodating us, trying to get it done in 45 or 60 days rather than their normal 120, because they know that time is of the essence, because Jim has had an MEDC grant since 2024, and he's bumping up against the deadline for that. But we told him, you decided to go after this new one. You gotta do your own fighting with the state on whether or not that will mesh. So far, so good, but it's going to... An added step might be put into the process if HDC says, we're not renewing your certificate, we're going to enforce on you instead. They have to give him a certain amount of time, I think it's 60 days, to rectify the issues with the building.
Mm-hmm.
And if he starts in that time, they can meet at their future regular meeting and say, okay, he started, let's continue, we'll extend it. But if he doesn't, my opinion is they're going to see... Excuse me, they're going to see that as, well, maybe we should just continue enforcement. So a lot of things up in the air on this one.
And then also the other grant that they got, the renting downtown above, like the rental space, they have to improve the inside before they can do the outside,
that's
correct?
That's the one I'm talking
that
about.
That is that one. Oh, yeah. Okay. So even when that happens, they still have to approve the or do the inside before we'll see any external improvements.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks.
Further comments? Seeing none, this would bring us to the city manager's report. City manager.
One moment, please.
It was a couple months ago, but there were some people concerned. I believe they may have even come to a meeting, concerned about consumers' energy and their gas main and gas service line restoration from the replacements, most particularly on the Stewart Street corridor. But city staff took an opportunity to meet with our consumers' representative, who then subcontracts to the restoration company and the installation company. And we had a sit down with them. I wasn't involved, but Tom Wheeler was involved with that. And I included some improvements that consumers agreed to enforce on the restoration contractor. So I hope things are going well, but DPW is keeping their eye on that. The Corunna water system. So Corunna needs to make updates, or they need to add SCADA to their new water storage tower and booster station. We've had a little bit of back and forth on the city accepting Corunna's plan. At first, we were of the idea that it is deficient and that we need Dave and his staff over at the water plant to be able to properly monitor a water tower and a booster station of this scale. Plus, it is our belief that we have this right to require them to do this in our contract. We still haven't heard back from their engineer yet, but we're optimistic that we can get that resolved. With Corunna making improvements to market their Parmenter Road property, we've kind of foreseen this, so we're trying to help Corunna as much as we can to get the capacity they need in their systems up and running, because they're going to be looking to develop that property. Ryan's got his eye on it. He's doing a good job. I think a lot of meetings are happening between those two engineers, but sometimes getting two contracted engineers to agree on something as simple as we need a SCADA screen, not a telephone system, it's frustrating at times, but we're working our way through it. The water customer portal is up and running, doing very well. We've had, as of the date that I drafted this report, we have 539 registered users. 230 of those, so almost half, were in the last 30 days. That system holds nearly 6 million meter readings, with about 32,500 readings every day. We've had success with residents saying that they appreciate it. It has caught leaks. Residents that have owned property in other cities that don't have it, and they've been burned by leaks. So glad to see that's up and running. and people are utilizing it as opposed to the previous one. We have hired a new DPW superintendent. Tom Wheeler was promoted to deputy DPW director, and Chase Pfeiffer over at the plant has been promoted, at the water plant, sorry, has been promoted to Tom's position. Well, now I can tell you Tom is leaving. He's moving on to greener pastures downstate, and so DPW is still in a flux here, but Ryan's got a good plan. We're moving forward, trying to keep all the balls in the air with all of these large projects we're going through. The DDA, oh, help me out. They have so many committees, Mayor. You sit on it. I was in the meeting with you this morning.
The EV?
Yeah, Economic Vitality.
All right.
The Economic Vitality Committee with the DDA board has had two meetings so far to discuss the vacant building registration ordinance. A lot of good feedback there. These are folks who either own downtown buildings or occupy space as tenants or live downtown or know a lot of people who do because they sit on the DDA board. And they're giving us a lot of good feedback on whether or not they would like to recommend the City Council look into a building registration ordinance, a vacant building registration ordinance. A lot of that discussion has been about what a vacancy means. So I had to leave that meeting after an hour to go to another one. I didn't have time to catch up with Lizzie Frederick on the conclusion of that. But judging from the discussion that I was a part of this morning, they seem to be on the ball as far as doing what downtown property owners and business owners might want or have concerns with the HDC's version of that recommendation. Let's see here. The finance director transition, that's going well. We've brought in Maynard Kasturizan, the accountant we brought in when we hired Brad 5 years ago to help with cleaning up some journal entries and getting ready for that year's audit. So we've brought them on again. It's working well. In fact, Adam Frost is going to be here tomorrow for the day. But we've had two promising applicants, which I'm very happy about so early in the process because we only gave it 2 weeks before we were going to have our first review. We had our first interview this morning, and our last interview will be on Friday. So I'll keep you informed on that, but I'm encouraged with the interest we've had. I also started including some studies that the Gerald Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan has been doing. I don't know if any of you get the emails that me and the mayor do, but about 4 times a year, the university does studies on municipal government and gathers opinions from elected and appointed officials. And this latest one was pretty interesting. It was about election administration and the statewide confidence on the local level and the state level on, you know, how do we think we're doing going into this midterm election. So I started including that as well. So what we have seen and I have reported on was there's been quite an increase in municipalities concerned about the cost of our elections with these new rules. So that number is almost half, that these communities are very concerned about the increased cost, which means increased staff time as well, that I'm sure Amy can attest to. But I can tell you we got a good team in place. Amy runs a tight ship. Heather's great. Got a lot of good volunteers, and we're ready for this. That's all, Mr. Mayor. Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions or comments to the city manager's report? Okay. Seeing none, next meeting will be Monday, September 21st. And with that, I'd be looking for a motion for adjournment.
Motion.
Support.
Motion and support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. We are adjourned.